Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where today we have student speaker Nicholas Egger preaching a message entitled, Marco Polo, Where Are You? I'm not sure where Marco Polo is, but this much I am sure, we want to have you here on campus for IBC Connect. You can check out IBC Connect's website at www.gotoibc.com/connect. There you can find frequently asked questions, register, and much more when that registration opens. It will open the day after Christmas. So until we see you around, we're not sure where you're at. So here's Nicholas Egger, Marco Polo, where are you?
Come on, can we give that to God right now? Lord, you are worthy of all the praise and all the honor that we can muster. Come on, apostolic young people. I wish I had somebody in this place that knew who God was to them. Come on, we can give God a little bit more than that. I believe that God is going to do great things here today, but I think that right now, in this moment, we need to offer him up some praise because he is worthy of it all. Lord, we love you today, Jesus. We praise you, mighty God. We praise you, mighty God. First, I would like to say my thank yous to this incredible, incredible student council. You guys truly are amazing. Georgian, thank you for your kind words. They mean so much to me. And it's easy to be able to do those kinds of things whenever we have leadership that does that for us, who stands up for what's right and who takes a stand for what they believe in. So thank you, Georgian, for being a leader for this great school. You truly are a leader, so thank you. I also would like to thank Brother Gallion and Sister Gallion and all the other staff here at IBC. You guys have made a remarkable impact on my life, and I am eternally grateful for you guys. And last but not least, I'd like to thank Brother Rodenbusch. You see, Brother Rodenbusch, you sit here in every chapel that you're able to be here at. And that speaks to me, because you don't have to be here. But you believe in us enough to be here. You sit there in that seat. And you preach with us, and you lead us on, and you're there with us in worship. So I'd like to thank you for your sacrifice. IBC, I think we should give Brother Rodenbusch a big hand for everything that he's done for us and for this school. Thank you. Thank you. If we could all stand for the reading of the word, I'll be taking my text out of Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 10. And I'll be taking three passages around the Bible. And when you're there, just say amen. Starting off with Genesis 45 and verse number 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Skipping down to Genesis 47 and verse number 27, it reads something like this, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And then skipping all the way to the back of the Bible, in Revelation chapter number 3, verses 15 and 16, starting in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, today I'm going to speak to you on this subject, Marco Polo. Marco Polo. If we could all bow our heads and lift our hands. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that you would anoint your preacher today, for your word has already been anointed. Oh, God, I pray right now that you'd speak to us. God, that you would open up our hearts to receive the word that you have for us today, but we wouldn't only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well, oh, God. We thank you for this glorious day, and we thank you for this eternal word. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Marco Polo is a game that, as children, as young people, we probably have all played. It's a cool little water game. It's like tag, but it's in the water, so it makes it more hard. And the rules of the game are simple. There's one person who's Marco, and everybody else swims about the pool. And so, as Marco, you're to sink to the bottom of the pool, and you're to count to 10. And whenever you count to 10, you're supposed to come up above the water with your eyes closed. And what makes this game so special and where it gets its name from is as soon as he comes up, Marco, as he comes up out of the water, he will begin to shout, Marco. and the other contestants in the game would say, polo. Makes sense. Simple call and response kind of game. Not very hard. It's not very hard to understand at all. I mean, as kids, we could play it, and we can have a good time at it. But the game gets tricky is because you add in this element of a fish out of water. Now, being a fish out of water, you can, let's just say that this is a pool, you're able to sit on the edge of the pool and put your little toe in the water. You're technically not out of the pool, but you're technically not in it either. And a lot of times, whenever we're playing this game, we think it's fun. So you'll jump up out of the water, you'll run across the other side of the pool, and as soon as he comes up, you'll stick your foot in the water and you'll drag it around like this so that you're technically not out. You can't call fish out of water because you're still in the pool. But how many of us are apostolics and we're fish out of water? We're technically not out of the pool, but we're not in that pool either. And so here we have in this game where when you're tagged, you become Marco. But you have to constantly, but the person who is Marco is constantly searching for an answer, for a response to hear where Polo is. And so you can swim about the pool, but if there's no answer in response as Polo, Marco will never know where you are. And it's kind of like cheating. We can't cheat. We're Christians. Come on now. Ain't no cheating in this game. Thank you. There's no cheating. But we've all done it. I'm guilty of it. I've refused to say polo so that I would not be found. That's just how I am. That's who I was as a kid. I did not want to become Marco because I was the worst at finding it. So we're in this proverbial pool as Christians, and we're swimming about. But Marco, if you can go along with me, we'll just say Marco is God. Marco is Jesus. And so he sinks down to the bottom of this proverbial pool, and he counts to 10. Now, his church is supposed to be in the water. And whenever he comes up to the top, he yells out, Marco, expecting to hear polo, and then he hears it. He says, polo, and we see a polo. That's how the game works. But sometimes, whenever life gets tough, whenever life gets hard, we're trying to tread water in this pool. And in this pool, you cannot touch the bottom. And sometimes it's hard to stay afloat. Sometimes it's hard to swim about and still be able to call out polo. Now, I'm not the only student here who's gone through a hard time. I'm not the only student here who has had bad luck. I just totaled my car this week. I've had the worst of luck this week. But we still always have to find a way to say polo. You see, it's not fair whenever we have a loving God who loves us and cares for us, a loving God who would do everything for us, who would die on Calvary for us, for him to sink to the bottom of this proverbial pool and for him to come up to the top expecting to hear an answer and we don't give him one. Come on now. I believe that God has called people in this room today, but they have refused to say polo. They have refused the call of God in their life because they cannot tread the water that they have been put in. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a loving God and a loving Savior who knows exactly where you're at. No matter if you answer him, no matter if you answer that call, he knows where you're at and he will never stop asking where you are. It is in this pool that we find our biggest distractions in life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a wrecked vehicle, whether it's a way you can't get around places, whether it's people that are saying things about you that aren't true. Maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe it's trying to impress people. Come on now, I got to get up there and I got to sing that solo. I got to sing it the best of my ability because there are people watching me. I'm sorry, guys. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But we're in this pool. And for some of us who are good swimmers, we have our seniors who seem to be pretty good swimmers. And they can get around that pool, I'm telling you. They can get around that pool because they hold up a standard in the water. So I would like to thank you, Alex, Paulo, all you seniors, Logan. Thank you guys for being good Christian examples to myself as a freshman coming in, not knowing who I was, not knowing what I was going to be. I had a plan, I had a word, and I was going. But I had seniors that took me by the hand and said, come on, let me just show you the way a little bit. Walk with me. Swim with me, if you will. Swim with me, if you will. But you see, it's in this pool that you find the weak ones and you find the strong ones. But sometimes whenever you find that strong one, they have hit a life vest underneath themselves and they're not really swimming. They don't have that firm doctrine, that firm belief, that firm thing inside of them that says, this is what I want, this is what I believe in. And so whenever you as a freshman, I'm going to speak to you freshmen for a little bit, as you as freshmen and sophomores like myself, you find that individual and so you hold on to them because you want them to help you to keep afloat, but they start sinking with you. That's no good. That's when you drop that relationship. That's when you drop that friendship, because I'm here to tell you today that it is easier for you to pull someone down than it is for someone to pull you up. And so we hang on to our friendships and we hang on to these peers that we have. Sometimes they work out. Thankfully, I have so many friends here that have worked out and that have been strong towers for me. But the greatest lesson that they taught me was that I needed to swim alone. You see, Tristan, you weren't able to help me through some of the mess that I've gone through. Man, you can't give me a car. You can't give me a car. But he gave me encouragement. And he gave me a word every day. Dude, I love you. I'm praying for you. So I want to ask this simple question to you today. Where are you? Where are you in this pool? Are you sinking to the bottom to where you can't hear the call of God? Or are you swimming above the water like the rest of them and you refuse to answer the call of God? Make no mistake that the call of God is the best thing in the world, but also it can at times be the worst thing. You know, it's not easy being called, so I understand you trying to swim away from it. But there is a loving God here today who is reaching out saying, Nicholas, if you would just answer me. And he comes up to the top of the water and he's yelling, Nicholas, Nicholas, Nicholas. He's a loving God. I have plans for you. There are things that you cannot see if you would just answer my call. And there's many of you that he's saying the same exact thing. He's saying, Spoons, where you at, man? Paulo, where you at, man? Rustin, where you at? Becca, Charlie, Georgian, where you guys at? You see, we look to these seniors. We look to these upperclassmen. And if you guys can't hold up the standard of what it's like to be an apostolic Pentecostal Christian, and you can't hold up a standard of what it's like to be a preacher and a minister of the gospel, if you can't hold up the standard of what a worship leader is supposed to look like and is supposed to dress like, I'm here to tell you, you are no better than a fish out of water. You are dead. Your soul is dead. Your spirit is dead. The only thing that's keeping you alive may be the prayers of your parents, but even then, that doesn't even matter. If you don't have this love for the truth and a love for this holy word, then you are spiritually bankrupt and you are drowning. I refuse to be like Adam in Genesis chapter 3. Whenever God came walking into the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. And God said, Adam, where are you? So my question today, in closing, if we can all stand. My question for you today is this: where are you? I wish that you were neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were lukewarm. That way I could spew you out of your mouth. Are you in this pool? Are you out of this pool? You need to make up your mind. This place here today, this is not a game. This school is not a playground for little kids. This school is a school who is making leaders. You need to find out who you are and where you are. You need to learn what your identity is, baby, because this thing is going with you or without you. I'm sorry, but we're going to keep swimming. It is high time that we learn that it is what we believe that holds dear to us. This is not a game. And I refuse to believe that I am playing it. So here today, as we prepare for Rustin to come up and deliver the second half of this, I wish that we could all bow our heads and close our eyes. Because we can never get to the place where the cross means nothing. We can never get to the place where the sacrifices of our elders mean nothing, where the prayers of Brother Rodenbusch and Brother Guyon over our lives mean nothing. So, Lord, here today we come before you humbly but boldly before your throne, asking you, oh Lord, that we would have an identity before you, Jesus. God, that you would lead us and that you would guide us, that whenever we hear your call, that we would answer. I pray, Lord, for your touch to be upon this student body. Oh God. God, I pray that you would lead us, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us to be hot or cold, preferably hot, Lord, but even so that we are able to serve you in a manner that is pleasing unto you, Lord. Where are you, young people? Where are you, Indiana Bible College? God is asking where you're at. He wants to know a response. Will you answer to him?